This is the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So they delivered him over to them to be crucified. Please stand for the remainder of the gospel reading.
So they took Jesus, and he went out and buried his own cross in the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on his hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the body would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first, and of the other who had been crucified with him. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it is one witness. His testimony is true, and he knows he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced."
Let us pray. Lord, by this sacrifice made once for all, we draw near to your throne of grace. Lord, I pray that you might perfect us and sanctify us through the sprinkling of Christ's blood, the only propitiation that makes us acceptable to you and reconciles us to you. And may we hear today the word of reconciliation. Come, Holy Spirit, apply to us the benefits of Christ's cross and sacrifice on our behalf. It's through him that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus, the perfect man, God the Son, who was conceived in his mother's womb, born a baby into this fallen world and lived lovingly toward all people with compassion, offering healing and freedom and blessings for all. He became rejected and despised. It's true that it happened according to God's plan of redemption and salvation for people, and in order to fulfill all that was written in the law, in the Psalms, and in the prophets. And while that is true, it shows the utter evil of humanity that this is what happens to God at our hands. The gospel reading began, "Pilate took Jesus and flogged him." This is what the world does to the innocent and to the beautiful. We take them and abuse them. Humanity takes beautiful children to the gas chambers at Auschwitz. We take babies in the womb to the abortionist. We take innocent children, we make them sexual objects, perverting and trafficking them. We make them casualties of war and violence and racism and slavery, etc. and etc. Our culture causes the innocent, the beautiful, to become depressed and suicidal, to question their identity and worth. Jesus is all that is good and pure and innocent, and the powers of this world take him and flog him, rejecting his identity, rejecting his worth and gifts. This is what people in the world, left to our own devices and desires, the devices and desires of our own hearts, this is what we do. That's not enough, though. The people beat Jesus. They scoffed at him. They mocked him and derided all that he represents, holiness and love, goodness and grace, a threat to humanity's self-interest, exposing guilt and shame among people. His light shows our darkness. Our instinctual response is for self-protection and to turn off the light. The religious leaders and their cohorts at the time cry out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The religious protest. "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." Yes, we have a law. It's not the perfect law of God. It's the law of self-justification, of arbitrary self-interest and self-preservation. It is the law of pride introduced to humanity through our sin and our subjugation to Satan. We will make our own law. And according to this law that we make, of which we are arbiters, all that threatens our status, all that offends us, that confronts our delusion of grandeur, that shines a light on our own darkness and our own shallowness, it must be cut off, it must be canceled, it must be crucified. According to the law of sinful people, Jesus must die. But according to the true law of God, the only one that ultimately matters, his authoritative law, Jesus alone is the person that does not deserve death. He is life itself. Every other person, you and I included, facing God's perfect law deserves death. All of us. As Paul writes in his letter to the Roman church in chapter 3, verse 23, and in 6, verse 23, "There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And for the wages of that sin, it is death." Instead of preserving his life and walking away or just staying away and staying put with his Father in heaven, Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice for sinners. He became the Lamb of God, perfect without spot or blemish, that takes away the sins of the world by becoming victimized by that sin, by becoming sin for us. He takes it away. God laid on him all the sins of sinful humanity. He suffered torture and abuse that is unimaginable to us, and death to fulfill the law of God that requires death, not of God's Son, the one who is perfect, but requires death of all those who have sinned. But by Jesus being the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect person, by his blood and sacrifice, he takes away our sin. Jesus died for you and for me, for our sins. What more could God do to show his love for us? The Jews cry out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! We have no king but Caesar." Humans have tried to become our own kings of ourselves, of all that we can rule. We have usurped our Creator's rightful place of authority and rule in our lives and in this creation. We have no king but ourselves. "I will be my ruler. I will decide what I will do and what and who I will be and what is right and wrong for me." We are bound to our own rebellion against a loving, good, and all-powerful God. In our rebellion, we do what we can to silence, to dethrone, and to do away with any contenders to our self-rule, no matter how temporary and impotent and vain our self-rule is. The truth is that Jesus says you would have no authority at all unless it had been given to you from above. You and I have no power to live, to move, even to breathe that is not given to us through Jesus, the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, through whom all things have come. The wisdom from the book of Job tells us in verse 34, 14 through 15, that if it were God's intention and he withdrew his spirit and his breath, all humanity would perish together and we would all return to dust. What do? We crucify the Lord of glory. He threatens our self-rule and will. The more a worldly power aggrandizes itself, whether an individual or a government, the more it works to silence the King of Kings, Jesus, and to oppose what is true and good. The reality is that there is only one King, that Jesus, who rules over all, is the one King, the Lord Almighty. And instead of coming and lording it over people and asserting his power initially over all, as he rightfully could, he, in the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, 7 through 8, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The King of Kings, through whom all things were made, offered himself to die for his rebellious and evil subjects that are us. He takes our place in the torture and crucifixion and death. That is our place that he takes. We put him there, and he went willingly so that he might invite us to that place that is his rightful place in the paradise of his Father. What perfect love Jesus demonstrates on the cross. What earnest compassion for each of us he shows. This he does for love of you and for me. Turn from him no longer. Do not silence him in your life. Consider the Lamb of God slain for you. Listen to what he speaks to you from the cross. And receive this gift of life. Isaiah writes, "It was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Jesus Christ crucified is making intercession for you, that you and I might be reconciled to the Father, accepted by him, pleasing in his sight, spending eternity with him. All because of the blood of the Lamb who was slain for us. As Paul continues in Philippians 2:9, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sins of the world, is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. And he longs for you. Receive him into your life. Receive this sacrifice on your behalf. Amen.
Amen. Our office hymn is hymn number 1.